Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the cool things about this year is, the 500th year of the Reformation. And one of the things I love about Martin Luther is that he worked hard to get God's word into the hands of the people, to take worship, which in his land of Germany was in Latin, that the people didn't talk. He wrote a German mass, a worship service in the language of the people. He took a Bible that very few people even saw, even the priests, and he translated into the language of the people into German. And with the invention of the printing press, that Bible got in the hands of the people. And one of the other things that Martin Luther wrote that we still use today, do you guys remember back to confirmation class? What little book do we study? Martin Luther's Small Catechism, right? It takes kind of the six chief parts of our faith. You know, what do we believe about the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, about the sacraments of baptism and of the Lord's Supper and the office of the keys? And he breaks each one of those down into different parts. And for example, you know, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. But then there's this question. Do you guys remember that question? It starts with the word what. Do you guys remember that question? Let's say that together. What does this mean? And, what does this mean? What does this look like? And so Martin Luther unpacks what that means, what that looks like in the life of a follower of Jesus. And I think that's so great because you can have all the knowledge in your head, but if you don't know how to apply it, it's kind of like paint sitting in a can. What good does it do you until you paint it on the wall? And I, you know, this week I've been on a mission trip, and you know, what good is all the supplies if there's not people to hang it up? It takes application. You can have all of the knowledge, all of the right thinking, but if you're not doing it, if you're not living it, if you're not saying, what does this mean? It's useless. Jesus knew this. Martin Luther got this. No, he didn't just invent this. He got this from Jesus. Because in our text today from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus' sermon is all application. What does it mean to be a believer in God? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it look like? He starts out by saying, what does it mean to be blessed? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He talks, what does it mean for marriage? What does it mean when I deal with other people? What does that look like? And so in today's passage of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is trying to talk about what should our relationships look like as we interact with the people in this world, especially with the people who hurt us. What should our relationships look like with our enemies? You know what the world says. The world says equal retribution. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You guys know that, all right? How many of you people agree that when you're hurt, that's what you want, right? That's our natural, that's what we want often. If I'm hurt or if somebody in my family gets hurt, it's hard. It hurts. And sometimes our natural human tendency is to say, I want to get even, all right? Jesus says, the world says, an eye for an eye, for a tooth for a tooth. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says something like this. When you encounter an evil person, do not resist them. Turn the other cheek. If someone says that you should give them, or somebody sues you, give them more than what they are suing you for. If you're forced to do something, go twice as far. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will it get to for you? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so what Jesus is describing here is a big faith. This stuff isn't easy. If I think about the Christian faith, this is the graduate level of the Christian faith. How do you treat the people who hurt you, who you really want to avoid? The people who, you know, if you go and hang around with them, they're going to drain you. How do you deal with them? God says that when you trust me, when you have a big faith in me, what you do is you give of yourself. What you do is you give of your stuff. What you do is you offer your forgiveness. You offer your prayers. Jesus says that he wants us to give generously, to live generously, to forgive generously. That's what a life of big faith looks like. To say, God, I want to get even, but I know that you want me to love. So I'm going to put this person in your hands, all right? I'm going to love them. I'm going to give. I'm going to offer myself and all that I am and all that I have in their service. And this is challenging, right? This is probably some of the toughest stuff. But Jesus says, if you look at this world, people who aren't Christians, they're going to love the people who love them. They're going to be nice to the people who are nice to them. So what's going to make followers of Jesus different? What's going to make the world look at us as the body of Christ and say, huh, there's something going on there. They've got something. They're living in a way that's different than I live. They think and they see this world differently. When they get hurt, they turn the other cheek. When I ask them for something, they joyfully give. When they encounter an enemy, they pray for them. When the world sees that, it makes them wonder, what is going on? It's back what we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's being the salt of the earth. It's being the light of this world to allow Jesus to shine in us. Now, this is something that you might say, well, that's impossible. But you think about God as our example. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, God sent his Son to die for us. While we were still separated from God because of our selfishness, because of our desires that we did what we wanted to do, not what God wanted us to do, God didn't let that stop him from loving us. That didn't stop God from giving his Son. Jesus gave his energy, his life, his love for us. Even on the cross, when people were hurling insults at Jesus, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. And it's that same attitude that we pray for those who persecute us, that we seek to heal and help those who are our enemies. And that this doesn't come from ourselves, okay? This only comes from a God who has defeated sin, who has conquered death and the devil and this world. And so we draw deeply from the grace that God gives through his Son, Jesus Christ. This grace that transforms us, this grace that heals and restores within us as we trust in Jesus, as we believe in him. And so as we place our trust in God, God gives us the grace to offer ourselves, to offer our prayers, to offer our forgiveness, even to those who we would consider our enemies. And so I want to challenge you to live like Jesus, to love in the same way that God loves you, to let the grace that heals you, that restores you and your relationship with God, to permeate into your relationships with others. This past week, I was blessed to be able to go along with members of Talmadge Lutheran Church and a few friends down to Baton Rouge. And on this mission trip, it got me thinking about, why do we go and serve? Yes, there's a need. Over 140,000 homes were flooded. And all those, most of those homes are just, you know, one-level homes. So when you have everything of your possessions, when you have even, you know, 30 or 40 inches of water on your main floor, everything is destroyed. This week we had the chance to be the first home blessing of a home that's completely put back together. 6 months after the flooding in August was the first home blessing of one of the members of Baton Rouge. And so while they aren't our enemies, it's easy to say they're far away. We don't need to help them. But I think because of the grace that we receive in God, we say, how can I help? How can I go? How can I serve? And as we interacted with the people there, the people that we served, our team helped in 8 different homes to give hope, to do work that they were struggling to do. And we built relationships to say, you know, I don't know you, but God loves you. I don't know you, but I want to help you. And I think that's that ability to be able to say, God, you loved first. Use me to love the world, even if they're my enemies, even if they've hurt me. Lord, by your grace, by your strength, help me love in a way that I can't by myself. So maybe you're at this point listening to me and saying, Pastor, you don't know about my brother, or you don't know about that person at work. They just rub me the wrong way. Pastor, you don't know about my mother-in-law. Come on, man. You know, Pastor, you don't know. Maybe there's someone in your heart that right now, just thinking of them makes you just cringe and you're hurting. I want to challenge you today. Can you pray for them? You might say, I don't know what to pray. Say, God, help me pray for them. God, I don't know what to say. You work in their life. Lord, bless them. And Lord, if there is a way that you can use me to bless them, use me. And you know what? God will probably hear that, and God will give you a chance, okay? That when that person calls you up and say, I need something, can you help? You might think, oh, it's going to be messy. Oh, it's... Draw deeply from the grace of God. Go. Serve. Love. May we together as God's people love all people with the same love that God has given us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in this world there are so many hurts. There's so many people that aren't nice. Lord, sometimes it's overwhelming. And that you, O Lord, love the world so much that you offered your Son as a sacrifice to begin the process of redeeming, of restoring this world. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and rising again. Lord, allow our hurts and our pains and our right to get even, Lord, let that die with you and be buried in that grave, that a new person may rise up in us, that we may now not be ruled by our hurts, but we may be ruled by your love, your grace, healing and restoring inside us. Lord, help us to love others in a way that the world sits up and takes notice, that they may see the living Christ who lives in us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.